Welcome to On DoD on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, sponsored by Microsoft Federal. Now your host, Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu.
Thanks for listening to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Glad you're with us for this week's edition of On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. On today's show, we turn our focus to the Army and the effort to change the way they acquire and integrate technology. We've talked before at length about the Army's network integration evaluation process, an exercise they're now conducting twice a year at Fort Bliss, Texas, to put new technology into the hands of soldiers. But this fall, we expect to see the first payoff of those exercises. The Army will field its first set of capabilities that were developed at the NIE, what the service calls a capability set. It's made up of some 600 pieces of equipment that will initially go to two brigade combat teams in October, then another six teams over the next year or so. Our guest is Dan Hughes, who was recently promoted to Army Brigadier General. He's the director of the Army's System of Systems Integration Directorate within the Office of the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology, one of the key players in the agile acquisition process the Army's trying to build. He spoke to me recently at his office in the Pentagon.
General Hughes, thanks so much for doing this. Welcome to Federal News Radio.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to do this.
I don't want to make the whole show about what the NIE is and why you guys are doing it. I think a lot of folks are relatively familiar with it, given all the media attention it's gotten. And if folks want to learn more about it, they can go back to one of our first shows that we recorded with then-Colonel, now General John Morrison, back in January. That's available at federalnewsradio.com. But give me 5 or 10 minutes on exactly what the NIE is, just to refresh folks' memories and why it's important.
All right. The network integration evaluation is part of what we call the agile process. So the key to this whole process is to get capability into the hands of soldiers faster. The acquisition process we have and we've currently been working underneath has bogged down in certain areas, especially IT. So information technology, to include routers, switches, radios, the speed of that technology is much faster than we can keep up with. So if I put a requirement on the table in the current environment, it will probably take me 7 to 8 years to work through all of the process, all the testing, all the development, all the contracting to get that capability in the field. So if I was building a cell phone for you, it would take me 7 years, and I would hand you a Motorola flip phone right now instead of an iPhone or something like that. So what we're trying to do with the agile process is to shorten that time frame up, specifically on technology, the network, because the network changes. The network is an enabler of the Army of the future. The network is a key to Army 2020 and a key to us keeping our soldiers, you know, their mission command up to date by that time frame. So connecting those soldiers, the individual soldier, all the way through to the enterprise is a key to Army Network 2020. So the NIE is part of that. So what we do is we identify what gaps we have today. What TRADOC does, the Training Doctrine Command, they identify what the user needs and said, these are the gaps that we have. They hand those to us. As a matter of fact, the Systems of Integration Directorate, which I run, is really the key element inside of ASOL, inside of the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology in the Army, to go out and procure these capabilities, integrate them into the set for the network integration evaluation. I go out to industry with something that's known as a sources sought. Sources sought says, hey, industry, these are the things I need. Do you have anything either currently or anything you're developing that you can bring into me? We take all of those inputs. We bring them into a lab up in Aberdeen Proving Grounds, and we say, do these things work? Do they fit into the network structure that we have now? And we always talk about what's known as the integrated network baseline. So if I have a baseline set of capabilities, I can take, say, radio A is getting old. It's 2 or 3 years old. The technology is getting old. I can pull it out, put something new in that's part of that baseline that meets that technical standard, and that's a quicker radio, and we do some things faster, better. That's what we want to do for the NIE. So, again, my directorate does the actual interface industry up front, the integration into the vehicles and on the soldiers' platforms, soldiers and platforms down at the NIE, fixes things as we go through the NIE, and then I'm the agency at the end that synchronizes the fielding of capability sets to soldiers as we go along. So right now we just finished NIE 12-2, So I'll be fielding capabilities out of NIE 12-2 to two units starting 1 October, brigades. Actually, we're going to do 8 brigades total for FY13. But the first two start October 1.
And these next two units will be outfitted exactly like that.
Absolutely. And you said exactly, but it'd be a little bit different as we modify that to meet the commander's need on the ground for what mission he's doing. But the capability we're bringing them right now is flexible enough for that commander to adjust what he needs so his comms work. Because think of Afghanistan. Right. There's different things. A big plain in one section, mountains in the other. And he may need different comms capability in certain places. So the capability set we're giving them gives them the line of sight capability, the satellite capability to adjust what he needs for that specific mission and where he's at on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And is he the one that is defining these capability gaps for you? Who is defining those? I imagine right now it is primarily the commanders in theater in the current fight.
So the commanders in theater identify what capabilities they need, and it flows back through not only the Joint Staff but the Army staff. And our requirements guys in the Army as a training and doctrine command, specifically the capabilities folks in TRADOC. Mm-hmm. So those folks, General Walker's folks, will take a look and say, from all of our mission command, our center of excellence across TRADOC, they'll identify the needs for the Army, distill them down to things that are tangible, send that up to headquarters DA. Headquarters DAG-3 will take a look at them and say, well, we really need A, B, C, and D. And that's what we want to focus on. I can't focus on an unlimited set because, right, trust me, there's a long list.
The wish list could be very long.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we'll pick the top four or five things and say, I need mission command on the move be better. I need more bandwidth down at the lower echelons. I need to connect individual soldiers to the network. They need to become a node on the network. What capabilities do you have out there? And we've just seen this process get better and better every time because we've been doing it really basically for about 9 months.
Right.
So from 9 months till now, I mean, we're looking at sources sought number 4, I believe, coming out next month,
right,
that will identify for us what the needs are for NIE 13.2, which executes in the springtime. And we have gotten dramatically better in defining what we need for ministry each and every time.
I want to talk a lot more about what's actually in Capability Set 13 as we go further through the show here. But talk to me through, let's pull on that thread a little bit more as far as what you have learned over these last 9 months. You said you just finished the third NIE, correct? What have we learned so far? What are we getting better at specifically?
So specifically, we're getting better at our interface to industry.
Mm-hmm.
Our first NIE 11.2 did not have industry participation, as we didn't go out with the sources sought. We didn't bring in their technology. We're just trying to set a baseline out there. What can we do? What can't we do? And we sort of knocked down a lot of fences. That's really what we were doing. 12.1 was the first time we brought industry, what we call systems under evaluation, in. And we took a look and we said, here are the gaps we have in a really large format, and said, what can we bring in? Out of that NIE, we went back and we said, you know what? We did not do a really good job engineering this up front. We really didn't. We went out to 12.1 and we engineered all the way through this. So the unit, instead of being able to execute their mission, they were playing with the kit, playing with the gear. They weren't executing what their warfighting mission would be.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to help us fix the network because the network wasn't very stable out there. So what we did was to take that process and move it back a little bit and say, I'm bringing everything into the lab. It's got to work there first. If it works there, I'm going to plug it into vehicles. If it plugs into vehicles and I do a validation exercise before the event and it all works, then I'm going to hand it to Dan Pinnell and the guys in 21AD and say, can you execute it? Then they execute it. And as they're executing a comm exercise prior to the NIE execution, they start owning the equipment. When they own the equipment, they can fix the equipment, and they use it in a mission set. So instead of just doing this to see if the systems connect, they actually use the systems inside an exercise like they would do in Afghanistan or go on missions. And it got to the point where these guys really weren't paying attention to the gear. It was just there. The network was just operational so they could use it. Because, again, we want a persistent network that gets them connected. And I'll tell you that we always say, if If you don't talk about the network, then we're doing our job because the network's just there. It's like when you walk into your house and you're on Wi-Fi and you never think about why you're on Wi-Fi because you're connected to something. My daughter complains when it's not on. I'll tell you that.
So have there been cases in those scenarios where you've handed them a piece of gear and they've said, yeah, I can use it, but it doesn't do anything for me?
Absolutely. We've had a couple of cases where, we had some cellular technology that we brought in that worked, but it didn't enhance their mission set at all. So it was one of those things we turned around and said, you know what, we're not going to go here anymore. This does not work. We need to go down another path. We've had other things where we have walked in and said, you know, if it only did X. So we've gone back to industry and said, you know, it does this baseline thing, but man, if you could do this, then soldiers will love this piece of equipment. I'll tell you the biggest eye opener for me is the training piece of this. If you can build some sort of gear that aligns with how the human interface of an iPhone or an Xbox, soldiers pick up on that so fast, and the training becomes easier, so they're more adept at using it walking in the door, and therefore the evaluation can go deeper than just the cursory, I can use it and it works out there. And by the way, our soldiers will find a way to use the equipment that you will never, ever, ever have thought of before walking in. They really, no kidding, are innovative because they'll go, you know what? If I use this cell phone to do this or just a piece of gear to do something else, I can do these three other things with it. And then we find out how to build our tactic techniques and procedures based on what they do. We have some really innovative, young, smart guys out there that are executing.
Brigadier General Dan Hughes, Director of the Army's System of Systems Integration Directorate, part of the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology. After a short break, we'll hear about some of the areas the Army's focused on for technology acquisition as part of the network integration evaluation process. This is On DoD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu. Welcome back to On DoD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu, and we continue our conversation with Brigadier General Dan Hughes, the director of the Army's System of Systems Integration Directorate. Before the break, he was giving us an overview of the Army's network integration evaluation process up until now as the Army prepares to deploy a new batch of recently tested and validated technologies to soldiers deploying to Afghanistan this fall.
Over the course of the three NIEs that you've done, have you focused in certain areas in each one, meaning in 11.2 to 12.1 to 12.2, were there focus areas for each one? Is that how the system's structured?
Absolutely. And so we really have focused. I'll leave 11.2 out. It was just, again, knocked down a door. But 12.1, we wanted mission command on the move. That's a real key. So WIN-T Increment 2 came in a very immature form. It was early for that. We moved them to the left about 6 months, and we got a lot of great information that allowed WIN-T to go into NIE 12-2 and be more successful. We saw that we needed a company command post capability. What the Army does is we usually take that out of hide, and when we're downrange, we go, I need that anyway. So what we did is we said, what kind of gear do we need inside here? So from 12-1 to 12-2, we figured out what we really need inside what's known as a company command post. The Net Warrior piece, where General Morrison talks about it all the time, is that we found out that the gear we had was just not right. Wasn't the right size, wasn't the right shape, wasn't the right format, and the PEO soldier folks have adjusted that. So we really do find these things, and it really is eye-opening. I'll tell you, some of the lessons learned that we have are simple things, like where a handle is put. Is the radio installed correctly? Because we're driving down the road, the radio pops out of its mouth. Not a really good thing. And finding those things at Bliss prior to us deploying that is a big win, because you don't want to be downrange, you know, in Afghanistan, finding, you know, hey, if I have to now duct tape a radio into its mount. That's not a good thing. And we've done multiples of that. Not to say that the folks that were putting things in theater quickly, we're doing anything bad. It's just we're getting smarter. We're smarter consumers on this, and we're going to find out what we really need. And I'll tell you, part of this whole process that we really are looking at right now is, as we transition out of Afghanistan, as we go forward, what's the Army of 2020 look like, and what gear do we need to bring forward and what do we need to improve so we have a steady baseline I can field to the entire force so that the Army is ready to go if we have to go again somewhere.
You mentioned some moment ago that raised my eyebrows a little bit when you said you sometimes go back to industry and say, if it only did X, which sounds kind of like an analog to the bad old days of requirements creep and overspecification that we're trying to not do anymore. Absolutely. Tell me why it's not that.
So when we were doing developmental programs, big developmental programs, which we will do some of those. There's some things that are so militarily specific,
sure,
we're going to have to do that.
Sure.
But what we don't want to do that as much as we used to do. So we take a look at the requirement set, and we have things called configuration steering boards that we will actually take a requirement that we've had on the shelf for 10 years, look at it and say, these three things don't make any sense whatsoever anymore. Don't do those anymore. Don't spend any more money on that. As we bring systems under evaluation in, though, we take a look, and industry knows what I ask them to do in a source of sought, but it may only do 80% of this.
Mm-hmm.
So what we don't want to do is say, okay, you don't do 100%, we don't like you anymore. Don't even bring that back. What we want to say is, wow, you're this close to having a capability we want to go and buy. It's like, I'm telling you, the best thing the Army did in a long time was in the MREs, the old ones, they added a little bottle of Tabasco. Okay, that little bottle of Tabasco fixed just about every meal you had out there. and I want to say clearly, the MREs now are not the MREs we used to have.
They're amazing.
So that was amazing. But that little bottle of Tabasco was that last, 10% we needed to make that meal worth a darn as you're sitting out, in the middle of the field for that long. So that's what we're asking them to do, is to bring the Tabasco. And if you just switch one piece of this, or I'm trying to think of a tangible example of this, but the handles. I mean, I never thought I'd be a handle guy on a radio, but we have one vendor right now that you can tell the difference in the radios, the version, mm-hmm, by the handle,
mm-hmm,
because they get smarter every time. The handles are spread out a little further to distribute the weight when you pick it up, or we can switch it. But that's the kind of stuff we find that and I'll tell you, it makes so much difference to the soldier. That's the kind of stuff we want to fix, fix little by little. Or get me on a radio side of the house. If we're only getting 200 kilobits per second and we think we need 400, if you can go squeeze out that amount and they bring that back in, that allows that network to work better.
Right.
Another thing we want to do, though, is, of course, is to incrementally get better. And what you heard on the capability set piece is that every time we do these, we want to have a little bit better technology. I say to folks all the time that most of the network, and if you've looked inside the vehicles we have, most of the network are routers, switches, and cables.
Mm-hmm.
That's the baseline. I mean, they're everywhere. So I need a better router, switch, and cable every time. Every capability set, I want to get a more throughput through a router, smarter switching, better management every time I go through. And that's where that technical baseline piece is. As long as I meet the technical standards, you get me a little bit more of that, we'll think about buying that from you. So I think we'll be, we will buy less but more often, and it'd be basically the same amount of money. It's just we'll get better technology going along. And by the way, companies, most of the industry doesn't want to keep old technology on the shelf.
Right.
I had a case when I used to be the fire support PM. So a long time ago, I did something on cannons and missiles. We had a box that we bought. We bought 25 years of the box. It was a 486 computer. We had gone three generations beyond that. We broke one. When you had to go back and buy it, we were going to pay $25,000 to buy a 486 computer after we were on Pentium 3s. And you sit there and you go, I can't even fathom, but that's the way the system was built. We don't ever want to do that again. It's tough in the IT world because you know how fast things move. So we just need to be smart consumers. When we buy A, we make sure the standards are there and we move on. A great example is the cell phone technology that we have now. We're using a phone, which we turn the phone capability off, the cell phone part of that
right.
off. We use it's really an Android device. And we don't want to lock into version 1 of that. We want to have version 2, 3, 4, 5. Of that, and buy the last one that's available the day we buy it. so that we have a better, faster processor, more memory, better form factor. And so I can plug the rifleman radio into it, and I'll start seeing SA on our situational awareness on that right away. I think we can be better consumers. I really do.
Brigadier General Dan Hughes, Director of System of Systems Integration for Army Acquisition. When we return, we'll talk about just how much new technology the Army's been able to bring in from industry as it gets ready to deploy Capability Sat 13 this fall, and how much is made up of programs the Army's already been working on for years. This is On DoD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbill. Thanks for listening to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. Brigadier General Dan Hughes is Director of Systems of Systems Integration for Army Acquisition and one of the key players in the Agile acquisition process the Army's building with the Network Integration Evaluation Process at Fort Bliss, Texas, at the center of that. He's our guest this week on On DoD.
So when you look across the entirety of Capability Set 13, which, as you mentioned, you guys are going to start fielding this fall, how much of that is stuff that you've had vendors come to you at the NIE with to fill these capability gaps, and how much of it is stuff that was already under development as programs of record in the Army?
So the baseline program, the WinT Increment 2 program, I'll say that's part of the program of record.
Sure.
And it's been in it works for a long time. We picked up some things out of theater-provided equipment like the 117G radios from Harris. Great capability running the ANW2 waveform. We used that. We actually took it to the NIEs, made sure it was operationally sound and fit into the network, and we're going to use that for Capability Set 13 for the first couple of brigades at least. We did find that we needed we needed more SRW, the Soldier Radio Waveform, mm-hmm. radio density, more nodes on that network. So we went out for an NIE to look at SRW appliques. An applique is just a radio that fits inside a mount that we have already, a Syngors mount, which we have hundreds of thousands in the inventory, and you take this small radio, put it in the Syngors mount, it fits in the same thing, uses the same power, plug another antenna into it, and it gives us a capability to run the Soldier Radio waveform inside an existing, basically, installment.
Right.
That came out of the NIEs. We had looked at it before, and that really was an outgrowth of, that really makes a lot of sense. It came out of 12-1. We have routing technology from a couple of companies that we said, wow, that's much better than anything we've seen. That's good. In NIE 12-2, we had, driven by General Walker from ARCIC, he wanted to see operational energy. One of the real issues with being in the middle of nowhere is power. So diesel weighs, I think, 8 pounds per gallon, and that's a lot to haul into places like Afghanistan. So if you can use a solar power capability, if you can grid your generators, if you can run a Humvee, that has an additional kit from Allison on it that runs all of your power on the same thing you'd run at Humvee anyway on. These are really innovative pieces that we're looking at. The company command post that we looked at satellite technology that would fit into there that was small enough. You know, we don't need 10 transit cases. They can't carry it. They got one vehicle.
Right.
But if you can fit that into two, we may want to buy that. So I think we're going to buy some of those satellites for Capability Set 13 for company command posts. So we'll leverage everything we can out of the NIE. I can't give you a percentage. I really haven't sort of figured that out. But it's a combination of programmer records, theater-provided equipment, and new technology to go forward on this. And it will always be a combination of the three. We want to see more small business pieces in this. There's some really, and I hate to call them mom-and-pop things. I guess that may age me a little bit. But that technology that some of these small companies has is really exciting. It's just how do we fit them in? How do we do that? And there's a barrier to entry that I want to get rid of. A white paper right now that comes to us, an information paper, I'm not in industry, but I'm hearing it costs about $250,000 to do one of these, to get it done right, to the standard we need.
Which is what you guys require before
absolutely.
You can take something to the lab, right?
Absolutely. And that's a lot for some of these small 8, 9, 10 people shops, even smaller than that.
And you have to pay to go out to the NIE, pay your own travel costs, supply your own equipment.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to find a way for us, still being competitive, because that's what we have to do on every to get them under contract, to look at that. And if they can only provide two, because that's all they've ever built, I want to go buy maybe 10 of them,
mm-hmm.
or whatever number makes sense, and then bring that in and say, wow, that really is good. And it may not be a standalone piece, but it may fit into some other part of the gear that we have. Mm-hmm. There's an old commercial that says, you know, we make things better. You know, it's Archer Daniel Midlands or somebody. But adding value to existing systems may be something that we look at. There's technology out there right now that will allow us to use spectrum better. We have a big challenge with spectrum on our radios. There is never going to be enough. It's like bandwidth. We will use every bit of it and ask for 10% more. But I need to take a look at how we make that better and how we do that in an environment that allows soldiers to run that. Tools are something we're looking at right now. So how do I manage my network? So we call NetOps. So we've assigned a NetOps trail boss, someone to say, put all of these disparate tools together and tell me what makes sense, which leads to another interesting piece where we're going to set standards for the radios that we are going to enforce that said, if you don't provide us this information out of the radio, we're not going to go buy your radio because I need to be able to control the radio in the network for a couple of reasons. One, obviously, to keep the network flowing and information flowing. But two, to allow us to defend the network. Because if I can see what's in the network, I can see what's on the network, and I can see the services on the network.
I don't have to figure out your proprietary protocol.
And by the way, I know who's using that. And if it's hacked into, as we see all the time now on systems, we'll understand that and be able to shut it down or be able to block people. So it's defense of the network is a big key for us in the future.
Let's go back to that small business piece real briefly. You mentioned that you want to reduce those barriers to entry. Do you have any specific ideas of how you're going to do that other than just having teaming arrangements with big companies?
Well, we're working with Congress right now just to see maybe there's some language that we could have inserted into Title 10 or wherever we need to go on that to say we've seen these innovative pieces. We really want to do this. Give us special authority to go and take a look. We're also digging through our current acquisition requirements and acquisition laws to say, is there some way for me to take advantage of that? I'm working with Dr. Freeman and Mr. Fish, who are our S&T, science and technology folks, to see if there's a way that they can bring in some of these technologies from small business because they do have pots of money to be able to do that. But again, we're going to take advantage of every aspect of what we can do to bring in smaller, innovative companies. And again, I really do want to get at the real innovation here. We'll have the integrated network baseline where I will add pieces and basically commoditize pieces of the network, routers, switches, cables. But we also want to look at if someone comes up with a really advanced capability, how do I rapidly bring that in or I mod one of my systems to do that? And we're looking at every aspect of that. I've got no silver bullet yet, but we're really looking at how to do that.
As far as the stuff that really is honest to goodness COTS that, as you said, you don't even need to bother to paint green, why do you need the NIE to figure that stuff out? Can't you just go to the GSA schedule and buy it?
Well, some of that, yes and no. So I will buy a piece of gear off of the GSA schedule. I'll buy it through what we call our CHESS contract, which I buy my laptops off of. Well, the laptops come equipped with X, Y, and Z on there, but I may need to modify them for certain things. I'll tell you one of the good stories I have is when we went to Desert Storm now 20-some-odd years ago. Every printer lasted for at least 30 seconds as we turned it on the network in the dust. But one of our guys, one of our smart young soldiers came up with Acer, if we take some cellophane, wrap it around this, and only on the bottom, and the only pieces that are open is where the paper is at, and this, the thing, and by the way, it worked. There were HP computers, I'll give HP credit for this. They didn't overheat, which was my concern. So the problem was the fan was getting eaten up with sand. So it's pretty amazing how you can sort of mod these things as you go along. You just have to be careful to make sure it survives the environment it's in. Now, another piece of this is the logistics that go along with COTS. We get a lot of technology out of COTS that we just buy and plug it in right now. There is you have to look at sort of like the business case on this. So if I'm going to harden something, it costs me X amount of dollars. Right. So say it costs me 4X to harden it and I bring it through the process here. I might be able to buy 4 of this And my life cycle on that is, you know, for every four, I'll expend two, and I'll be able to buy spares and keep those. And by the way, refresh those quicker than I can the thing I developed and hardened. Mm-hmm. So there are some things that we are going to absolutely, no kidding, harden, and we're going to have in the forest because we need them. But let's take advantage of the ability to take that COTS piece and maybe buy two of them for what it would cost us, to buy half of one of the other ones. Just to leverage that.
So that's at least one of the goals of NIE and the broader Agile acquisition process is to buy more COTS to leverage more
absolutely.
COTS.
Absolutely, to buy more things on, and I say COTS, GOTS, things off the shelf that we can look at.
One of those levels of commercial-ish.
Because some of the commercial companies make some pretty hardened equipment.
Right. Brigadier General Dan Hughes, Director of System of Systems Integration for Army Acquisition, is our guest this week on DOD on Federal News Radio. We'll take one more break and finish the hour with a discussion about how the Army actually buys the capabilities it evaluates through the NIE process and tries to promote competition. You're listening to On DOD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbin. Welcome back to On DOD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu. One final segment this hour with Brigadier General Dan Hughes, Director of System of Systems Integration for Army Acquisition. We're talking about the fruits of the Army's network integration evaluation process at Fort Bliss, Texas, as the service gets ready to field hundreds of pieces of new equipment after successful testing and evaluation and integration at Fort Bliss. In our final segment, we talk about the Army's push toward leaning more on commercial technologies for that equipment in the future. And once the Army decides it likes a commercial product, how it actually acquires it.
Well, you mentioned before that you didn't have an exact percentage of what's, you know, systems under evaluation versus programs of record in Capability Set 13. Whatever that mix is, do you envisioning it changing over time as we go through this process? Are we going to go more toward industry and less toward programs of record?
Absolutely. We are pushing toward more industry involvement in every one of these. And the positive step on this is that the first time we did a source of SOT, we had about 100 inputs back to us. The second time we did it, about 120. Now we're at 160. We'll probably have more this time. And that's really what we want to do. And I think we're getting smarter as we write these things. If you know the language that's in there, it's pretty archaic sometimes, and it's hard for some people to understand. And I've actually had industry come to me and say, hey, where do I find these? And I'm like, well, you know, we use FedBiz Ops for all this stuff. It's there. It's in the open. Sort of tell us how to do that. And I actually did a tutorial on here's what it is, here's where to look. Well, I never would have thought to look in there. So it's a pretty open marketplace there. We'll be smarter on our announcements to lay out exactly where that's at. And we just want more industry participation in this because it helps us. It really does, no kidding, help us.
Are you seeing toward that barriers to entry point you were making earlier? Are you seeing people come and play in this space that aren't the usual suspects in the defense marketplace yet?
There is some, and I don't want to go through any names, but yeah, sure. We saw some folks that I didn't know they did that, and some space. One of the odd things we were starting to see is foreign companies come in and say, you know, we've got something that may fit that for you, which I think is a positive all across the board because we do want to get the best investment for the dollar there. But you hit it right on the nose. There is some companies out there that do things that we never envisioned they did. And again, our outreach is going to get better as we go across this.
Only got about 10 minutes left here, and I want to start digging into the acquisition process here since that's your area of expertise. Talk me through how you actually get stuff under contract for these systems under evaluation. Is it the same in every case, or do you have to figure it out one by one? I imagine most of these end up being basically sole source procurements. Right?
So what we're trying to do is avoid sole source. So as industry comes in, an industry SOO comes in, the first time they come through the process, it is on their dime. Mm-hmm. So they come in, they support the system, they bring it through the lab, they have all their engineers, they go out to the NIE. I will pay for integration in the vehicles and a safety release because that's our responsibility. Because I that's something we pay for on that. If it's encouraging and we say, you know, we really want you to come back, but we want 10 more of these, I go out and buy it. So that's where we're going down a contracting path. We look for existing contracts that are out there right now, even things like GSA and contracts we have already with these companies, which, again, does put smaller businesses at a disadvantage that don't do business with the government all the time. So we try to find that. And the last case on this is to do a J&A and then do an RFP because it takes me, a request for proposal, excuse me, it takes me months to do that. Yeah. And my turnaround time for the NIEs are so quick. Right now, I finished the NIE 2.5 weeks ago. We have demodded 355 vehicles, and we start installing next week. So not a lot of time for us to do this. I want the 13-1 systems in the lab. They're already starting to show up in the lab right now. We just accepted them a week and a half ago. So to get things on contract is really hard. That's what I need help on, is how to make that more agile and innovative in the contracting process right now. A lot of great people working it, but it is just too slow for us to keep up on this, and that's something we're going to take on pretty hard.
And how do you do that and keep things competitive at the same time? Or do you feel like the NIE process takes care of competition by itself?
I want competition at every level during everything, because what it does for us is it gives us innovative technologies and actually levels the playing field. In the old days, you would sign a contract. I'll give you an example from JTRS. We signed a contract in 2004, which locked everyone out, every other competitor out of one system for basically, you know, the 8 years up to this point. We don't want to do that anymore because the technology has changed so many times in there. Other companies could have added capability in this. So what we're trying to do is stay away from sole sources and stay with sole source justifications at every step that we can, yet provide contracting mechanisms to go and get pieces of gear. Haven't really figured that completely out yet, but we have been fairly innovative on finding venues for contracts that we can. We don't really shop contracts, but I've gone across our research development community to buy some things. We've reached across the GSA to buy some radios, and we look. One of the great parts of our organization is we have people that are that have touched every part of that. So they say, no, sir, I think we can do it this way. We do a legal review every time before we buy a contract or use a contract. Our lawyers are involved in every step, so to make sure we're spending the taxpayer dollars wisely on this. But it is a process that we need to fix, and we need to get better. And it seems to be slowing us down pretty dramatically.
When you say we, are you talking about the Army, or are you talking about the entire system, or are you talking about Congress?
I think the Army and Congress. As a matter of fact, we've had some folks in Congress, some of the professional staffers, come up and say, "Tell us how to help you," because we see and we applaud. As a matter of fact, in the latest language, we applaud the Army for doing this. So tell us how we can help you. Tell me the language you would need to make this easier. Now, Congress also wants us to stay as competitive as possible. So I really want to find a happy medium, competitive, small business, and getting this the capability in a timely manner. And those three together are fairly hard to do.
Before we close, tell me how this plays in a joint environment, A, in the future, and B, what kind of partnerships you have going on already. I think you have some limited involvement by Air Force.
We had the Air Force and Marine Corps in the last NIE because the HMS Manpack radio is a joint product. Everyone's buying that. Most of the systems we have out there have some joint interface, or we're meeting a joint technical standard. A great part of what we adopted is an everything over IP structure. If you go to that, your interfaces become very simple above that. Its addressing becomes, a little more complex than that. But you can plug in to this network if you need. If the Air Force needs to be in there, if the Marine Corps or our joint partner, coalition partners, we're planning on doing an evaluation of capabilities with the UK, Canada, and I believe Australia in 13-2, just a limited set of capability that follows up on what our multinational events were a few years ago, just to make sure that the bits flow over to them, because we're always going to fight with a partner somewhere. So again, we've adopted joint standards across the board, and we should be able to plug in. Now, the proof is in the pudding when you go out there and you plug in and see if it works, and coordination takes place.
Brigadier General Dan Hughes is Director of System of Systems Integration under the Army's Assistant Secretary for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology. We'll post the full hour of our conversation about the Army's evolving network integration evaluation process, agile acquisition, and the forthcoming deployment of equipment in Capability Set 13 at federalnewsradio.com. Also encourage you to check out one of our earlier interviews there with then-Colonel, now Brigadier General John Morrison. In that December interview, he explained the NIE process itself in more detail. Thanks again for joining us for another edition of On DoD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbia. So long.
You've been listening to On DoD with Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu, sponsored by Microsoft Federal. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2 only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.